Jesus' name. Can somebody agree by saying amen? All right, I'll start reading here at verse 24. This is Deuteronomy 2 and 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. In other words, where are you going now? You're going to have to fight for it. Verse 25, and this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under heaven, nations that are under the whole of heavens. And who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Glory to God. All right, what I read there was the fact that now what we're doing is going in to possess our inheritance. So we're calling this receiving your inheritance. That's the title of part, I think this is volume two. And this subtitle is commanding the blessing. Commanding the blessing. All right. Let's go now to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Open Galatians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul here in his letter to the church at Galatia, which is also a letter for us as well. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, say believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
And verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth, I'll put that in there, all nations be blessed. Okay? So, blessed. We're talking about the blessing. And what is the blessing? This blessing is an empowerment that God puts on his people. And this empowerment that he puts on his people is designed to give you an ability that you don't naturally or did not naturally have. So this empowerment, let me get my notes here. So in this empowerment, the word blessing, we said, is the word barakah. Barakah. And it means basically to endue with power for success. The root word of blessing is bless. And it's the word barak. And it means to endue with power for success. That God is giving us power for success. And that this blessing affects every area of our lives. That it is supernatural, brings supernatural provision. It brings supernatural increase, supernatural fruitfulness, supernatural longevity, supernatural protection and promotion, supernatural health, supernatural favor, and supernatural business savvy. That this blessing is what the scripture has named the power that created all matter. It's called the blessing. It's what God used to create everything. It's a supernatural power of God that brought all matter into being. The blessing. And when this blessing is on you, This blessing gives you an ability to do things. What we said here about this blessing is we went back to Genesis and saw in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And then, verse 28, "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, this key for this blessing is that what God was putting on Adam is what he used to create material things. He now has placed this on Adam. Now, Adam is going to take this blessing, which is this empowerment, that he's going to manage the earth with it. And this blessing was something that he's going to use to continue the creation of the earth. If you remember, God made Adam outside the garden, then he put him in the garden. And he is supposed to take this garden, and he was supposed to replicate this garden throughout the earth. And the thing that he was going to use to do that with is something called the blessing. Now, this blessing on us operates by faith. It operates by faith. Now, let's talk about faith for just a moment. Now, like I said, this is probably one of the most powerful messages or series that I've had the opportunity to preach. I preached before on the blessing of Abraham, but I didn't come this far. And so I'm asking you, receive what I'm preaching here. Because if you embrace this blessing, it will take you to a place of distinguishing you in this earth, which is what God wants to do. That's a number of things that it does. But let's just go with this first. Faith. Now, we've talked about faith before. And this faith is your guarantee to possess your possessions. In other words, faith activates heaven to make what you believe a reality. Faith activates heaven. God, whatever God has for you, he's already done for you. And faith is the thing that makes that a reality. It activates heaven to make this thing a reality. Let me say this. With this in mind, most of what God has planned for you, if you don't have faith, then most of what he's planned for you has not been in your life yet. One more time. Most of what God has planned for you. When they came out of Egypt, they came out of bondage. Okay, it's like being not saved. Then they come to the Red Sea. That's like water baptism. They get into the wilderness and they're saved. But most of what God has for them is in Canaan. It's not in the wilderness. And so to get into Canaan and get your stuff, you're going to have to fight for it. And the fight that you have is the good fight of faith. So if you're not in faith, most of what God has planned for you is not in your life. Boy, I'm preaching better than you said amen here. Now, my job, of course, is to help get you there. Look what it says in Romans, Romans chapter 10, please. In Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 14, he says, "How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed?" Well, how can they shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? I was sent here with $200. Coming on to verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I've got to access my inheritance, but I can only do it by faith. Come on, it's just the right bunch I'm talking to, man. I got to spend more time in Africa. No, I don't mean that. If I want to access my promises, that's the promised land, I'm going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Well, faith for the promise is in the promise. And I can't get faith without hearing. And I've got to hear it from a preacher. Now, like I told the last group, one of the things that happens in this is somebody saying, just because the preacher said it doesn't make it so. Listen. God has designed the system so you need a preacher. He designed it that way. No, don't get mad at me. Look at God. Because the way I got saved is I heard a preacher. God designed it that way. If you go and look at Acts chapter 10, when you get time, don't go over there now. But here was Peter, and he is busy waiting for something to eat. Then he went up on the roof and fell into a trance or whatever have you. But it ended up, I think that's the same chapter, but an angel came and God led him back up to the centurion's house to preach the word of God. This is God. He put him back up there. The angel even told the centurion, somebody's going to preach to you. My point to you is, why didn't the angel preach to him? Because he couldn't. God made the system so you need a preacher. Now, this preacher supposed to preach the word of God that God has given him through study and through the anointing that's on his life to preach to you the word of God, and that through that he gets it together, prepares a meal, and then comes on Sunday morning and serve it. Now, I'm supposed to serve food. Say amen. Amen. And if you look at Numbers and Numbers chapter 13 and look at verse 30, he said, this is Joshua and Caleb. They were leaders that came back to the congregation, just like I'm in front of you. And they said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look what the other 10 leaders said. But the men that went with them said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we, blah, 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 blah. Now, the Bible said they brought up what kind of report? An evil report. I'm just saying, what people don't understand is the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. And you've got to take this gospel by faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand. That means when I preach something, when I preach it, you got to receive it by faith. You can't feel it. You can't justify it. You can't take it to court. You can't do nothing but receive. And when you receive it, then you'll start believing it, and understanding will follow. And then you'll be able to see what we're talking about. But other than that, I'm preaching something you ain't never heard before. And when I preach something you don't ever have never heard, don't reject it. If I'm reading it from the book, at least say the book is right, and I'll take it from the book. Now, I'm telling you this because it's time for you to stop hearing the same sermon over and over again before you believe it. I told you there's two reasons why people don't move forward. And one reason is because they've never heard it. They are ignorant of the Word of God. But the next reason is unpersuadableness. I can preach it till I'm blue in the face and you don't move. Well, them people in Africa are moving. They are building an auditorium that seats 100,000 people. That's the way they move it. Another one in another country is building, had just built their whole complex, and the complex of their church is $400 million. I'm just saying, these people are hearing it in other nations and believing it. This is a nation that's supposed to be under God, and when I preach God's word, you're supposed to take it, run with it, and the things that you did this year, you're supposed to be doing more than that the next year. If you don't have faith, most of what God has planned for your life never been manifested in your life. So, what am I saying? I'm saying now, this whole idea about the blessing, as I preach it, it's about your inheritance. And I said that we can find our inheritance and a good glimpse of it in Revelation. I went over there, chapter 5. And just save time, Revelation chapter 5. And I will start reading here. Y'all got me preaching hard. I ain't preaching hard today. I got too far to go. And look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us." Who is the Lamb that was slain for us? Jesus. To receive what? Power. That's yours. To receive what else? Riches. That's yours. Now, you're going to have to receive it by what? By faith. Riches. And what else? Wisdom. Now, let's just stop at wisdom for a minute. Now, this is part of the inheritance package. Now, understand, there should be nothing that is of greater advantage to the church than a problem. One more time. There should be nothing that is of greater advantage to the church than a problem. One more time. There should be nothing that is of greater advantage to the church than a problem. The church should not run from problems. The church should run to problems. Say amen to that. Now, here's why. Because in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible talks about that God has laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, let's just take that scripture, because over in James it said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, what is this wisdom? This wisdom is the answer to the problem. Whatever problem you might have right now in your life, in your family, in your business, in your body, whatever problem you might have, God has wisdom. God has wisdom. Now, when was the wisdom given? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Wait. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings, what? In heavenly places, where? In Christ. So, the way you get it is to come into Christ. Once you get to come into Christ, the Lamb, now all this inheritance is yours. The way you extract it and pull it out of the heavenlies is through faith. Faith is designed to contact the invisible. So faith in your life is now going to pull wisdom out for the problem that you might have that you're trying to solve for your business or for your ministry or for your schooling or whatever have you. The wisdom of God is the Word of God. So God now is going to supply you with wisdom. When was the wisdom laid up? The wisdom was laid up before you came. That's found in verse 4. He said in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 3 Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. He said that before, according as he has chosen us in him, before when? the foundation of the world. Now, how many of you know God knows the end from the beginning? How many of you know that God doesn't start until he's finished? So he's finished your life, and he's now starting your life. So you're starting to walk it out. But God has wisdom for you at every turn, because the enemy is busy trying to get you off into one ditch or the other. But God's going to have you outsmart him. He's going to have you outsmart him just like he outsmarted him. Look at the scripture found in 1 Corinthians and chapter 2 and verse 5, if you will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, look what he says here. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Next verse. And howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Check it out. But we speak the wisdom of who? God, in a what? Mystery. A mystery is something beyond natural comprehension. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He has hidden wisdom up, laid it up for you before the foundation of the world. Next verse, please. He says this, which none of the princes of this world knew, the rulers, who, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if Satan had known what he was doing when he killed Jesus, or had him slain, or whatever have you, crucified him, if he had just known, he wouldn't have done it. Because when he did it, he planted him. And when you plant something, it grows up. So he thought he was doing this thing and wiping Jesus out. He wasn't wiping him out. He was raising him up. And I'm telling you, if you're walking in wisdom, it might look like for a minute you're losing the battle. But just stay with the plan of God, because wisdom is going beyond your natural mind. See? And they thought they were doing you harm, but they were setting you up. Your setback is a setup. And I'm saying that God is about to set you up, because we're about to take the lead. We're about to, come on, it's time for the saints to stop being in the back of the parade and stop leading this parade. This is your season. Whatever's been holding you back, this blessing is going to deal with it and put you up to the front. Now in this, over in, glory to God, I gotta cut some corners here. Now, there are things that the enemy tried to use to block the blessing from your life. Now why? Now wait, let's come back to Revelation chapter 5 again and just finish reading that, okay? So wisdom, God knew you're going to have the problem tomorrow. Check it out. And when did he lay up wisdom to solve it? When did he? Before the foundation of the world. Now, check it out. Joseph. So here's Joseph going down Joseph going down to Egypt. But let's roll back. Let's go roll back, because I want to cover a principle. Come on back to Genesis chapter 12. Now this is the blessing. He said that of faith are the children of Abraham. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 12 and see how God conducted the life of Abraham. And the way he conducted the life of Abraham, you can expect he's going to conduct your life a lot the same way. Are you with me? All right, so look what he said in verse 1. He says, Genesis 12 verse 1 says, and the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to show you. Now, what does this mean to you? It means, first of all, obey God. Amen. Obey God. To disobey God is called a blessing blocker. So the enemy's job is to get you not to obey. Okay, now there's some other blessing blockers. I don't have time right now to go through them. But here is this, get thee out of that country. Let me give you another way of saying it. Let go of the system you're trusting in. Let it go. Let it go. Now, at first, when you let it go, at first it looked like, oh, Lord. No, no, no. God's got you. I said, God's got you. You see, you had to hold on to it when you was unsaved. But now it's God is holding on to you. He is saying, let that go so I can do for you what I want to do. One of the biggest things that happened to Adam is that Adam, when he sinned, he got into a place where God could no longer provide for him. And so you don't want to be there, because you want to make sure that you're holding on to God's system, because a man can't serve two masters. You're going to either hate one and love the other, hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So if you hold to the system of the world, you'll despise the blessing. And you don't want to despise, but despise means to treat low. And if you treat the blessing low, you won't get the blessing's results. And the blessing will change anything. So I'm just saying, just like he did that with him, he did that with Joseph. But Joseph was taken down as a slave. And he was taken to Egypt. Now notice, they tried to kill him at first, but you can't kill him. And I went over that with you. I said, here's Jacob. And what did Jacob do? He tricked his father, but the father blessed him. But once he passed on the blessing to him, now here comes Esau. I'm ready to be blessed. I just blessed you. He said, no, that wasn't me. He said, I blessed somebody. Oh, that's that trickster Jacob. I'm going to kill him. Too late. The blessing protects you. You can't kill him now. You can't kill you or your family. You can't touch none of them. But for that to happen, you got to embrace the blessing. And the only way you can do that is by hearing the word. And once you hear the word, faith will come that you can embrace the blessing, and it can't even touch your kids. I know they ain't acting right, but it still can't touch them. That's the grace of God. Now you tell me, isn't this good news? And what's coming out of this is going to be miracles. You watch and see. So what happened? He got down there and Potiphar bought him as a slave, but the blessing was on him. So here's the blessing on him. Next thing you know, he's being raised up. What does he become? He becomes head over Potiphar's house. Why? Because when the blessing raises you up, it'll make you the head. I don't care what industry you're in. You're about to go to the top of the industry. It doesn't make any difference what school system you're in. It doesn't make any difference what class you're in. It doesn't make. And notice, he's going to the top. And next thing you know, here's come Mrs. Potiphar. She's making eyes at him. What's she trying to do? She's after that blessing. Now, if he gets all over there and all that mess, then now the blessing is going to stop functioning. But so you got to keep your life halfway clean. God knows that you're going to mess up. So he said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. If you confess your sin, come on now. And I'm just saying, notice, she stripped him of his coat again. Why does he keep losing his coat? Because it was indication of the blessing. When his daddy put the coat on him, notice it didn't call his daddy Jacob, it called his daddy Israel. Because Israel is a revelation of what Jacob used to be. And so he put it on him by revelation. Glory to God. So anyway, so here is Jacob, Joseph. And Joseph is down there in Egypt. And notice they took him and falsely accused him. Somebody say injustice. And they put him in prison. But notice what happened. He rose up to the top of the prison. He then rose up to the top and started running the prison. And then next thing you know, here's two people that got punished by Pharaoh, and they got put in prison. And Joseph told one of them, now when you get back up there, tell them I'm down here. How many of us want to know somebody at City Hall? If you just know somebody down at the company, if you just know, come on, I'm trying to get ahead. I'm telling you, wipe out all of that. That's a blessing blocker. You don't need to know nobody but Jesus in this business. This is what I'm saying. He's going to open up doors for you, and the favor that's on you is supernatural. And when you have that kind of favor, whatever you say, people will accept it. That's why you got to watch what you say, because you don't want to misuse nobody. Here's what I'm telling you. This is how powerful it is. So next thing you know, 2 years later, they raise Joseph up. Here he is. What does he do? Wisdom. Pharaoh wants to know what this dream means. Wisdom, poop, tapped into it. When did Joseph have that wisdom? When was that wisdom really given to him? Before the foundation, the same time it was given to you. God has laid up wisdom for everybody, for every situation. Why? Because he's waiting for a problem. So when that problem comes, you're going to have to tap into wisdom, get the answer for that problem, and they're going to say, you're the man. They're going to say, you're the woman. And when they say that, they're going to promote you. He went from prisoner to prime minister without any. They just went straight on up there. Come on, say amen. But here's the deal. He went up there as a Jew. They knew who he was. I'm saying, stop looking at your color. If you got the blessing on your life, it's gonna make you the head if you polka dot. Say amen to that. Now, who doesn't like to hear this? The world doesn't like to hear this because all they got is their system. I'm telling you, you got a whole nother system. The reason why you're listening to me is God is ready to raise you up. The reason why you're putting on this Eminem conference and seeing everybody from billionaires to come here and speak to you is because God is preparing you to assume your position as leadership. God is going to make you a leader whether you're ready or not. I'm saying the time to get rid of all them blessing blockers, get out of strife, it's a blessing blocker. Get out of unforgiveness, it's a blessing blocker. Get out of the things of unbelief, it's a blessing blocker. You take hold to that blessing because once you are blessed, it sticks to you. You can't get it off, you can't wash it off. The Satan can't separate you from it. I'm telling you, here's what Isaac said about Jacob. He said to Esau, who I bless is blessed. Notice, Isaac even knew once he released it, he can't call it back. I don't care how Jacob acted. He can't call it back. I'm saying God has blessed you just like he blessed Abraham, and he can't call it back, man. You got me. Hey. Woo-wee. Woo. Oh, that came out of the Spirit of God. Woo-hoo-hoo. Say, I'm blessed. Hey. Woo. Woo. Look at that. That was out of the Spirit of God. Ignited your spirit. All right, yes, sit down. Deuteronomy chapter 28, please. Hey. That blessing will replenish. He said, he blessed them and said, be fruitful. Fruitful, that means anybody that can't have a baby that's married, you're going to have a baby. I'm preaching the word of God. You got a choice. You can either believe what I said or believe what I said. Glory. Replenish. I'm talking about bad parts. Come on, bad parts in your body. Replenish means to perpetually renew and resupply. Where is it? It's been laid up for you since the foundation of the world. Because one of your parts of the inheritance is to live long and strong. Now get your faith together and let's get some of this stuff. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Lord, you've got me preaching. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Watch this. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. You can't outrun them. can't outrun them. But notice it said blessings, not blessing. Blessing, blessings of the houses, the promotions, the good jobs, the increase, the profits. So these are blessings. But the blessing is the thing that God used to create all of this. He put it on you. Look at verse 8. And he says, and the Lord shall what? Command the blessing upon you and your storehouses and all that you set your hands to. And he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God has given you. Verse 9. And the Lord shall establish you a holy people. Come back to verse 8, please. I just want to finish up. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon you. Now that word is sabbath. And we're going to talk about that next time. See, if this Hebrew boy, I'm telling you, it's okay. So command the blessing upon you and your storehouses. Now it's not going to be only on you, it's going to be on your what? Storehouse. And all that you do what now? Set your hand to. Watch this. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God has loaned, has leased, has rented. No. Jesus is the king of who?
Kings.
And the Lord of who?
Lords.
Say, I'm a landlord.
I'm a landlord.
All right. Now, we showed in 1 Kings chapter 17, and look at verse 4. I think that's where it is. Wherever we started last time in the last seven, okay? Verse 3. No, verse 4. Just say that. Pray. Verse 3. He told the prophet, he said, now, verse 4, praise God. He said, and it shall be when you shall drink of the brook, I've commanded the ravens to what? Feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, next verse. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Now God commands things. If you're in a time-sensitive situation, he commands things. Watch this. He can command people and things. You can't lose. Oh, you're stuck now. You're never stuck. As a believer, you're never stuck. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth. He can command a blessing. And that raven came twice a day, didn't he?
Yes.
Just like clockwork. Bread and meat. That sounds like a Big Mac. But anyway, for bread and meat. Are y'all following what I'm saying? How many days? Every day. Then the brook dried up. What happened? He said, now go. Keep going on down, please. He said, and it came to pass, the brook dried up. Because there had been no rain in the land. Watch this. Everybody else starving now. The word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded who?
A
woman to take care of you. Nobody can resist the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
Psalm 29 and verse 4, please. Nobody can resist the voice of the Lord. I don't care if it's a heathen, stone heathen. The voice of the Lord is powerful. I'm not going to even read all of that. You read it yourself. Give the Lord a praise. I completely got to get out of here. Woo! Can you stand to be blessed? If you're here and God's spoken to your heart about being born again, I want to get you into this blessing. Now, if you're outside this blessing, you can't get in there. Well, I've been to church. I ask you, were you saved? You can train a monkey to come in church. It's because you stand in the garage, don't make you a car. You got to come. You got to be born again. You got to actually receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So if you're here right now, without hesitation, if you're here and you know that you've never received Jesus publicly as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you right now. This is what I don't want you to do. Don't hold back. Don't say, oh, people are looking at me. They looked at Jesus on the cross. He did it publicly for you. Now do it publicly for him. Folks, in my life, just because I'd been to church down there in Tuskegee, Alabama, I thought I was saved. But as I got older, things got worse. Why? Because the transgression, the life of the transgressor gets hard. It gets harder and harder. God's got a remedy for you. He's got a time for you. He's going to bring you into the kingdom. Now, whoever that is right now, I'm not asking you to join this church. You can do that today or do it later. I'm asking you, let me bring you into the kingdom. Let me say the same prayer for you that they saved for me and broke the power of the devil over my life, and I've been prospering ever since. If you're here and you're ready for it, come on. Don't be shy about it. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me right now, quickly, just like you are. Come on down here. Come on. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. That's the devil's talking. Come on down, just like you are. That's it. Come on, just like you are.